Behind every bit of mom wisdom is a story. A story of a real mom and real kids just trying to love each other well. Whether you're cozied up on the couch with a mug of coffee, pulling out of car line and heading to work, or out for a walk, you're welcome to join us as we share stories and laugh, learn, and grow together. It's the iMom Podcast. Welcome to the iMom Podcast. Thanks for being with us. I'm Abby with Susan and Megan and Chloe. And Christmas shopping is underway. And I know a lot of parents are probably considering whether or not to get their kids a phone. So how do you know when your child is ready? And so today's episode is, should kids have cell phones? And it comes from Susan.
Okay, so we were late givers of phones in our house. And that's because I do think they're a great tool, especially if you want to be in touch with your child. But that's initially why we gave them a phone, is to be in touch with us. And it was for a purpose. It wasn't really for social entertainment. And so one of the rules with our phones was we did have a contract. This is what it was for. This is how it was to be used. And it was a privilege. In other words, I'm paying for this. It's really my phone, but it's for your use. And therefore, it is a communication tool primarily for us. So if you ever get a call from us, you got to take it. Mm-hmm. If you ever get a text from us, you got to answer. And then after that, you can use it increasingly as you show us that you can be responsible with it. And one of the ways they had to show they were responsible is if they were going to have the gift of this communication tool with their friends, then their communication with us, even in person, and their family had to be good. So if there was talking back, I turned the phone off. And you can put phones on hold quite easily. You just call your provider and you say, I want to seasonally put this phone on hold.
I think you can even do it online now. It's like super
easy.
Yes,
super easy. And it just literally goes off. So my children did at times go to school and all of a sudden realize their phone didn't work because that morning they had not talked to me respectfully. It wasn't anything I warned about, didn't get upset about. I just turned it off.
Hardcore, Susan.
No, well, because it's no discussion. It wasn't a fight. It just, I'm not going to fight about it. I didn't want them to argue with me about it.
I love that.
It literally was just a daily reminder, oh, darn, I didn't talk to my mom nicely this morning. Therefore, I cannot use my phone.
Yeah. So did all four, Megan, when did you get a phone? How old were you?
16, when I could drive.
Did all five of your kids get a phone at the same age then? Or did you decide based on...
No, it got younger and younger and younger.
No, it didn't.
On the line.
It got younger by 1 year.
Oh, boy.
Because...
each. So by the time it got to my brother, he was like...
No. 11. Marky was...
11. Grant was 2 when he got a phone.
No, Grant did not get a phone.
Exactly.
Grant did not get a phone. Marky got a phone when he was 15. He was playing football. He had a lot of practices. And then the JV coach actually came up to me and said, it's a good thing you're a teen mom because your son is the only one I can't text to tell if football practice has been canceled because of rain, because he's the only one on the team without a phone.
See, I have a problem with that. And I've heard this from friends who say, my kids' teachers say the kid has to have a phone. So I think Mary Jo, our staff writer, is like, my son is supposed to have a phone and his teacher told him he needs to have it. But that is my decision as his parent, whether or not to give him a phone, because the phone is so much more than just the tool for school. Mm-hmm. It's the internet in a lot of cases.
It's actually, in many cases, a distraction from school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't like that.
And what if you don't have the financial means to be able, let's say you have four kids and you don't have the financial means to give all four of your kids a phone to get their homework or whatever. That just seems not necessary.
So the first phone that you got, Megan, what was it? Do you remember?
It's going to date me. I think it was like a flip phone.
Yeah, and she got that because she was driving, and we felt like she needed that for emergencies. It had a purpose.
Right. Well, it used back...
I actually think it was, do y'all remember those... not that this matters, you can cut this
a
out.
A slide?
The slider
ones. Slide phone.
Yeah, those are so cool.
I had one of those.
Yeah.
Not the cool one that you turned sideways, the little tiny one that just went up.
Yeah.
Not the cool one that went to the side.
Yeah. But so back when Megan was a teenager... giving your child a phone, the main risk I think a lot of parents had was that they would talk on the phone while they were driving, right? Because there wasn't internet on the phone. It wasn't like an iPhone or a smartphone is now. So I think that giving your child a phone today is a much different decision than it was back then.
Yes.
For me...
I have to say, I was not allowed to talk on the phone when I was driving.
Right. Yeah.
That was so I had to like pull over or whatever.
And speakerphones weren't what they are now either.
Like, you didn't have that in the car then.
You had it, right.
And I certainly didn't have texting.
No.
No, that was another gate we opened. So we'd say, okay, show us you know how to use the phone. So we actually would, back then, would look at their how much time they spent on the phone. When you got the bill, you'd see how much time. And I'd say, okay, if you're using it too much, we're not going to add texting.
Yeah.
But if you're using it responsibly, we will add texting. And that was another thing we would take away if their time on the phone was too much.
Yeah. So I am currently 42. And so I didn't get a phone until I was a sophomore in college, which was maybe a little later than some, but not by much. And mine was like the Nokia, like the one you can play Snake on.
I love Snake. I have Snake app on my iPhone.
And like we had free nights and weekend kind of plans. And the guy that I was dating who lived in Tampa and I was in Gainesville, I had to wait until after 9 o'clock to talk to him, to be able to talk to him for free and not cost minutes. I'm like, how many minutes do I have left? Yeah. Like, this is a different world. Meanwhile, my parents did not get a phone until like 10 years after I did. So it's a weird, like, dynamic and weird time. It was then, at least, where people were getting the technology before our parents did. And I didn't need my parents to guide me necessarily. I was 19, but it still is just, it's such a different time now as we walk through technology.
I think
technology.
It's actually similar because we were coming back from skiing and you had to ride one of those vans, you know, that you rent to get back to the airport. And there was a mom sitting behind me and she had a baby and she had like a maybe 8-year-old boy and he's playing on an iPad. Okay, it wasn't a phone, it was an iPad. But she's going, what are you playing? How did you download
That's true.
That?
That's
she
true.
Didn't know. So I do think it's still the same. I think a lot of kids have more apps, know how to use them better than
right,
their parents.
Right. Mm. What about you, Chloe? How old were you when you got a phone?
I was 14 and I was one of the later, you know, kids in my friend group, and I didn't have internet. You know, it wasn't a smartphone, but I had the full keyboard and everything. It was the coolest thing in the world. But I was using it way too much. I was texting and just texting nonstop. So,
yeah. So here's the question then. What is, now that we know that the phones that our kids are getting, if you get them what everybody else is doing and don't do one of the plans that has restrictions or a special kind of phone, what is the right age? Knowing you're giving your child a phone that has the internet on it, what is the right age?
Here again, I'm not going to go with age. It depends on the child. And that's why I think you start basic and you make them earn the right to more things, whether it's downloading apps or texting and add it on. Because if you give them the whole enchilada at one time, they're going to get sick. Mm-hmm. They're going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. It's going to go badly. And then you have to pull it back. So I think depending on their age, like I said, there are a couple of my kids that didn't get them when they hit that time, just like you wouldn't give them their driver's license if they're irresponsible.
Yeah. According to a recent study by Common Sense Media, by the age of 12, more than a third of kids have their own smartphones. This is U.S. kids. And 73% of parents in the United States think it's acceptable for children above the age of 12 to have a smartphone. So whether or not they're getting it for their child, 73% of parents think that it's okay after 12. I've told my older son, 13, and I've said, I'm not making any promises that you'll get it at 13. I think that sometimes the circumstances determine, you know, like if they play sports and they're late after school. My niece goes to a school where she's not in that zone. And so she has to walk and she has to get a hold of my sister. So, you know, it just depends. But
and it depends what they're going to, how much they're allowed to use it too. Mm-hmm. Like in that case today, yeah, it is a little bit scary of a world. Do they need it for safety? And can you have a family phone? Like, oh, you're going to practice, take the phone.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
I think that's a great idea. So then on the other end, is there an age that is too late to get a child a phone? And I'm asking that to kind of suggest, are there things that we need to teach our kids about how to use it before they become.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, just having full access to the internet at 12, that's too young. I'm sorry. You know, does it look like having a phone to use for just calling? You know, we don't take the phone into your room at night. You take it when you go to school, you call, and that's it. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I just feel like there's got to be limitations on a smartphone because at this, I mean, I could be wrong, but I feel like at this point in technology, the internet is accessible on most phones.
Yeah.
I think to answer your question, though, Abby, you know, it's our job to train up their child to leave us. And so if there are things in the world they need to learn, you got to do it by the time they're 18. Mm-hmm. So would it be too late? Do you want them to learn how to regulate themselves on a phone by themselves after they leave you or while they're still in your house? And you can see if there's things that are difficult for them. Mm. It's like dating. Do you want them to date when they're out of college all by themselves or when you're there to kind of walk through like, okay, what does it look to like have a good relationship?
That's a really good point though, actually, because I'm sure you glean a lot of information about, that sounds kind of weird, but I'm sure you are able to ponder more about your kids because you're able to watch their behavior on their phone.
Oh, yeah.
Who are they talking to? What do their conversations sound like? All of that. So,
well, that's why I think if you're paying for the phone and you're giving it to them, you lay out the rules in the beginning. Hey, we're gonna look at this we're gonna sit down every week and look at how much time you spend on apps, how much time you spend on this, and we're gonna talk about, was this healthy for you?
Yeah, right? That's a really good point.
I think that a lot of parents, you know, if you decide you want to get your child a phone, I think that a lot of parents don't realize that they have a choice after that point. When you hand your kid the phone, that is not the end. Not only do you have a choice because I'm paying for this, this is not yours, this is mine, I'm letting you hold it, you also have the choice to set purposeful limitations, like get the plan that doesn't give the child the internet or get the plan that sets a cutoff time, or you can only text or call approved people. You know, like if you think your child at 13 might be ready, well, like you said, ease into it, set these boundaries for them, and then slowly loosen, you know, make the leash a little bit longer.
So let me just scare everybody about phones right now. let's just go there.
Someone just bought a phone for their child for Christmas, and they're about to.
Let me say, the average age for a child to be exposed to pornography now is 10 or 11.
Yeah.
So he was the president or CEO, this is an old story, of GQ. Got into studying all this, left GQ, and actually hired a psychologist to do studies on pornography and children. And they did a huge study. And the psychologist at the time was a female and said, this isn't a big deal. I don't know if it's a big deal. This is a British psychologist. Said, but she got paid to do it. And after the study, she walked in and he said, so, you know, give us the findings. And she put the phone in the middle of the coffee table and she said, giving your child a phone at a young age is like putting crack cocaine on your coffee table.
Wow.
So it lights up the brain. Kids find things, they see things, and it stimulates brain. I mean, they went into this whole long thing. But the bottom line is the exposure kids, the danger of what they can find just by Googling on an unprotected phone, huge. And even if your phone is protected, what they text to each other and what they send, and they studied middle school kids and what they were sending to each other and what the girls and boys were seeing, huge. So you have to, you can't give them an unprotected phone today. Right, just can't. It would be like giving your child the keys to the car without any lessons or any parameters saying, go for it, figure it out.
Well, and I think that most parents have limitations on what they let their kids watch on TV. I wasn't allowed, you know, so back when we had cable or whatever, I wasn't allowed to watch MTV. Mm. And my mom did not like the content and whatever. And so we snuck it when she wasn't home. And then we would flip it to VH1 because it was just one spot underneath. But they decided this is not something we want our kids to watch. Meanwhile, if we give our kids a phone, they have everything. When you have the internet, you have everything. Not just YouTube, but like you can go on any site, you can Google anything and see anything. So it's like, why would we not set these limitations on phones, even if it costs a little bit more? You have to pay. You're going to have to pay for these software monitoring programs and things like that. But I think it's worth it.
I think my fear as a parent is, kids are smart. I know so many kids that have like created different accounts on social media and things like that so that their parents can't find their real account. Their parents think they're following their child's account and they like create something else. Their parents don't know. And I think that's my biggest fear as a parent is like, yes, you can monitor them and you can put things in their phone, but you know, how do you, kids are smart. How do you make sure they're not, you know?
Well, I think that
getting into other things.
the kind of rose-colored glasses answer to that is that it's about, you know, your relationship with your child. And if you can have that relationship where they love you and they want to please you and they want to obey because of the love that you have for one another, hopefully they would not be hiding things from you. Or, I mean, most kids do things every once in a while, but in general, that they're going to respect your rules.
Yeah.
And I will say I have compassion for the parents out there because I know this is hard. It is a tough decision. Yeah. And if you're a single parent, oh my goodness. Because my husband and I divided and conquered. I was the technology person. And so I took this portion of their parenting where he took other parts. If you are alone out there in your parenting and you are trying to keep up with everything your kids are doing and you're not naturally into technology, I feel for you. And I just know it's hard. You have to do the best you can.
Yeah. Well, and that's a whole nother thing. Like single parents or who are co-parenting, a lot of my son has said, well, we need a phone because we go to dad's.
Right.
And his stepmom has said, there's never a time that you're not with one of us. You do not need a phone. Mm. And so we are all on the same page. But sometimes the two parents might not be on the same page. And so that's a whole nother ball of wax for sure. But what I was going to say, Megan, actually kind of is in response to what you just asked. If you have a software monitoring kind of program that you're buying, do you tell your child that you're using it?
Oh,
I know we talked about spying, but yeah.
Well,
so I think they would figure it out because I feel like I remember trying to do things or whatever. And like, you get like a blocker come up, like says like you cannot access yada yada.
I think there's different kinds. We have an article, the 5 ways to monitor handheld devices, that talks about different types of monitoring programs, and some of them do block content, but other ones mom gets to look and see all the sites you've been on and things like that.
Yeah. I think if you're using it as a teaching and you put it on, that's why everyone who's buying a phone, do this in the beginning. Hey, you can have a phone, but guess what? I'm going to be able to see everything because you're learning. And if they know that's part of getting the phone, they don't have to tell their friends. Mm-hmm. But it's a great opportunity to, A, don't freak out, mom or dad, if somebody texts them something terrible. That's your opportunity to go to them and go, hey, yes, I saw what they texted and let's talk about it. But don't freak out about it. Because if they feel like you're using it to like blow up all the time, it's going to become a point of contention. If they see that, hey, the monitoring's on there, but you don't freak out, you're teaching them how to use the phone. So, but to put it on there before they get it and make it a part of it, to me, is the most transparent way to do it.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes if you have a child that's going around you all the time and you feel like you need extra and you can't tell them, but you've got to protect the child, it's your job to protect the child.
Well, you can say this phone comes with conditions.
Yeah.
It has, I need to know what you're doing on it.
Right.
I think also, you know, not even talking about the dangers of the phone, but there's also having a healthy relationship with your phone that I think parents, you need to have family rules because we can be very bad examples of taking the phone into the bathroom, which in our house, there is a no technology in the bathroom rule because I just don't want closed doors and iPads and I just don't want to even.
You're going number two.
Oh, stop.
I didn't want to set that precedent with my children that they could take their iPads in the bathroom because they didn't want to have to break that later. So they have a stack of books on the back of the potty, okay, Chloe. Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you. But like, what can you do what are your family rules? I don't know if you guys have these, but what are your family rules for phones so that your kids can see that you have a good relationship with, a healthy relationship with your phone as well?
My husband had the one that they stay in the kitchen. I mean, obviously you don't want them on the phone all night long when they should be sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Like when they go to bed, they...
Yeah, okay. They charged in the kitchen.
Yeah, I think, was it Al Roker that has the thing that he does? Or all the family members' phones get locked in a box at night.
What?
Yeah. Locked, that's
pretty
intense.
What if there's an emergency?
Oh, well, yeah. One. No, I've seen these boxes that families use for dinner. The kids have to all put their phone in a box and it gets closed.
Doesn't
and,
Sage like, Steele does that,
I
think.
Can open the box. That was literally unlocked. Nice.
That was in that Netflix show. Remember the girl goes at it with a hammer?
Yeah.
She's like, I can't take it.
No, I think it was Al Roker. And one person leaves it out. Like an adult apparently leaves theirs out for emergencies, but everybody else's gets locked up, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe, sorry, Al, if you're listening and this is an incorrect fact, I apologize.
My husband would like me to leave the phone down in the kitchen. He says he drives him nuts when I'm looking at the phone.
I have found that I will walk around the house with my phone in my hand. And I don't need it.
Yeah.
And that scares me a little bit.
See, I'm the opposite. That's why I got the watch, because my kids would say, I called you all the time. I'm like, well, the phone is downstairs because I don't carry it around with me. And they'd get so mad.
I do both. And the problem is I actually almost put my phone in the laundry the other day because I walk around with it and then I go to set it down. And I was like carrying a laundry basket down. I set it on top of the laundry and then I just threw all the laundry.
Oh, gosh.
And I was like, oh, my gosh, my phone is in the washing machine.
Yeah. Yeah. We have the rule where we don't even have phones at the dinner table. So it's not just we don't talk on the phone. We don't want the phone to be out, like visible. And I think that's important, too, when you're having conversations with your kids. Even if you don't pick it up, even if you don't check it or anything, to not even have it in the line of sight, because there is something about knowing that you have the chance to be somewhere else that communicates to your child that they're not your focus.
And don't we have an iMom that cell phone manners or something? Mm-hmm. You know, like if the grandparent walks in the room, you got to put it away.
Yeah. Yeah. And now that, like, whatever you said about you not having your phone all the time, I think about my parents and the way that I talk about my parents, like in front of my kids. I'm like, oh, Gooey doesn't ever respond to her text. Gooey never carries her phone. And so, like, I'm basically.
Are you saying I'm old enough to be like,
no, you're not. You're not. But I think that, I think that with every generation and even half generations, we're seeing a more of a dependency on phones. Mm-hmm. Like, my parents, my dad could not care less about having a phone, and he's obviously much older than you. So, like, the way that I speak about his dependency on his phone communicates something to my kids about the importance of a cell phone.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot to it. But I loved what you said too, Susan, about at the beginning in your story, like where you said, if my children did not socialize well with us, then I turned off their phone. Just the fact that you were watching the way that their phone was impacting their ability to actually connect with other humans, I think that's huge.
Well, and it really was worth a priority. For us, it's God, family, friends. And so I always told them, if you want a phone to communicate with your friends, then you can't put them ahead of us.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't talk to your friends like this. And then, so you're talking to me like this. Well, you've got your priorities out of order. You've got to put family first, then friends.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, to parents whose kids already have a phone, I think it would be an interesting experiment, or any technology really that they might be dependent on, whether it's an iPad or a phone or whatever, to do an experiment where they say for 1 week, you're not going to have it. And this isn't a punishment. I just want to make sure you have a healthy relationship with it and see how their behavior changes. Mm-hmm. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe there's nothing, you know, and then you can say, well, you know, we're doing okay. I think that it would be good to see what changes about your child. Maybe they get back into a hobby that they liked before. Maybe they call a friend that they used to hang out with, you know, not on their phone, but.
I know people have done that for vacations.
Yeah.
Except for the whole vacation, we're going to put our phones away.
Yeah.
That's scum.
Maybe try it with yourself too, if you feel like you can, or maybe not. I don't know. That would be hard.
Yeah.
What's informing your decision to get or not get your child a phone? Tell us via the link in the show notes, and definitely subscribe to the iMom Minute and follow iMom on Facebook. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to the iMom podcast. iMom is the motherhood program of the nonprofit organization Family First. Along with our fatherhood program, All Pro Dad, we exist to help you love your family well. Subscribe to our daily email, the iMom Minute, by going to imom.com/subscribe and get tons of great ideas, insight, and inspiration. The iMom podcast is hosted by me, Abby Watts, along with Susan Merrill, Megan Tigner, and Chloe Blumenthal.